Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Friday, May 10th, and we are here to recap Wednesday's off the show. Another good day. I think we've now gone to this slightly new format where we've decided to make the best model picks B grades and then select the A grades as the subset of the best ones of those. It's kind of how we've operated on the play of the day for so long, which has been so successful for so many years now. And so kind of decided let's try to extend that here a little bit. And that way it kind of tiers things so people can look at the B grades and see what they want those A grades. For all 3 days we've done this now, 4-3. So slightly positive here. Pleased with that so far. Makes five straight positive days for us if you're getting the totality of picks over on Dub Club. So if you want to get check some out there, you can. If you are interested in kind of assessing the model, no change so far. The overall model, kind of like best picks from the model. Good on first fives. Full games are struggling. I think they're going in the right direction, though. Those full game totals just continue to look kind of better and better by the day. And so, again, first five model has been great, and we're trying to rely on it. But I think we're kind of starting to get a feel for the full game as well, that gets going in the right direction. But again, you can get all that information and more, including weather updates, the Discord chat, more picks, the play of the day, those honorable mention A grades, what I'm calling them, the A grades that are not quite to the top, but still the next best, your fifth best play of the day or whatever, that continue to help us out. All that over on Dub Club, bunch of summaries, information when you can't watch the show, way more information than I can provide to you on show in a nice, easy to digest format, and a 10-day free trial to start you out if you are interested. That link in the show description, the QR code will get you started off. And of course, some quick reminders before we get into the games. PicksWithTheProfessor.com/new will get you information about the model and the community rules. Weather is subject to change. We are 24 hours out, well, more than that actually, for I think every single game here. At this point from the time of this recording. So, that stuff's going to potentially change. We updated that on Dub Club, and I'll try to mention where it'll matter and where it might not matter here in each game. We are predicting an average game, one game, anything can happen. Teams can have crazy spurts. You know, we took the Twins here. First five is an honorable mention A grade pick on Thursday, and that worked out really well for us. Still wouldn't have ever expected them to score 11 runs on a day like that. I mean, the total was 6.5. Now, I was telling people in the model how to B grade pick on the full game in the first five over. Again, which the B grade's the most confident that we let the model do by itself. And I was telling people like, hey, I'm not running to do that, but yeah, like 6.5 is way too low for this. But that doesn't mean that we ever expected the Twins to put up 11 runs. It was nice, right? We're going to get some of that good variance, but we talk about one game, anything can happen. There's going to be outliers that are good, outliers that are bad. That was a good outlier. We don't focus on that. We focus on the overall big picture. And what that means is that we say a team's going to win 55% of the time, and that means it will lose 9 out of 20. And that's okay. We know that some of them are going to lose. But if we're losing 9 out of 20 at the right price, the 11 out of 20 that we win is going to make us more than we lose in the 9 out of 20 that we lose. So anything is a good bet. If it's the right price, right number, doesn't mean we'll ever see it. But we need to be thinking about what that fire away point is and where it makes sense to pass, because there's not any value. That doesn't mean something won't happen and something won't win. It just means that it might not have any value at the current price, because in the long run, it's something that, because the way the juice works, it wouldn't really be profitable. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. Last but not least, if you can like the show, we would appreciate it. We like it when you like it. No day games, unfortunately, here for us on Friday. We're going to start off with Cubs and the Pirates. Not a line yet on this one. We do not have either starting pitcher confirmed right now. Both are quote unquote undecided. FanGraphs has it as Jameson Taillon and Jared Jones. We do know that Skeens will come up and pitch on Saturday. The rumor had been that he would come up on Friday, but instead it'll be Saturday. So who knows exactly what will happen. So I'm not going to talk too much about this game, because there's a 50-50 chance, if not better, that one of these two guys isn't the pitcher. And so it's just wasted talk here. But if it happens to be these guys, we do really like Jerry Jones. 7 starts, 41 innings, 2.63 ERA, 2.40 xFIP, and a 3.28 FIP. He projects higher than that because that seems a little bit unsustainable from what we've seen from him, but he's a good prospect. You have to be really pleased with him if you're a Pirates fan. Better than average pitcher right now, number 50 in baseball, according to Sideline of the active starting pitchers. And if he continues to pitch like this, he'll be down in the 40s, into the 30s pretty soon. I mean, so far, he's been fantastic. Taillon, in his 24 innings this year, 1.13 ERA, that's a little bit overly optimistic. His FIPs at 353, which is still very good, but his XFIP aligns much closer to his projection. XFIP at 432 is probably closer to where he is. He's probably closer to average. It's been good so far. You want to ride the hot streaks when you can, but I'm not sure that he's the better pitcher in this one, despite the lower ERA. I actually have more faith in Jared Jones. Offensively, don't really trust either one of these offenses. Bullpen-wise, I guess the Pirates' bullpen's better. That's only because the Cubs' bullpen isn't very good. You never know what you're going to get from either one of these teams. So that's obviously something to keep in mind here. If it is these two pitchers, we have the Pirates a slight favor, total around 8. Weather-wise, we are looking at low 50s. Wind that is going to be either out or across, but probably not strong enough to matter too much, more in the 5 to 10 mile an hour range. The game should play slightly pitcher-friendly because of the cooler temperatures. And again, what the wind does, unless it starts to pick up a lot, probably not going to have too much of an effect on the exact direction. Astros and the Tigers, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, first pitch, upper 50s. Wind will be a little bit out, a little bit across, a little bit shifting, not very strong, so the wind's not going to matter. Park will play pitcher-friendly. It'll feel kind of more like an old-school Comerica Park-type game with this weather, in that it'll be fairly pitcher-friendly. Once they brought the fences in from center field, it played much closer to neutral, but it'll play fairly pitcher friendly. You're not quite like in like a, you know, April game in the old America, but it'll still be a pitcher friendly night. Framber Valdez and Casey Mize, almost identical ERAs for these guys, and really good underlying metrics for both of them. Casey Mize has a 322 FIP, 386 XFIP. So far, it's been a really good year for him. The issue is we don't want to overreact to 31 innings. Framber Valdez has thrown 22 innings this year. Similar situation, FIP close to 4, but in the upper 3s, XFIP 336. The difference is we have historical data on both of these guys that gives us a bigger picture. And so this is where, at this point of the season, we have to figure out how we're going to make money from day one all the way to the end of the season. And it's not necessarily the exact same formula every year. And sometimes it doesn't always work to plan, unfortunately, every single week, every single month, right? We talk about big picture, and sometimes the big picture takes a couple of months to settle out. Sometimes we'll win, 5 months in a row, which is a lot of fun, right? But every month can't be winning, unfortunately. But in general with baseball, you follow this general cadence, which is the first part of the season. You're just trying to take a stance where you have an opinion on a pitcher or a unit, a team's offense, a team's bullpen, whatever it may be, a park factor, right? Whatever it may be, you're kind of trying, we put a lot of unders in Seattle, for instance, especially a lot of first-round unders that worked really well for us. You're kind of trying to take a stance and just say, look, the market kind of views things this way, and this is how I view them, and we're going to take a stance because we don't really have a lot of data from this year. We're all using last year's data. And then, you look back and hopefully you get it better than out there, but that's kind of how you're trying to attack the market. As we're shifting into May here, I've been kind of mentioning this. Now we're kind of at the point where the way we're going to make money is saying, how do we overreact when we should? How do we massively adjust and say, here's something different? This pitcher changed this thing. This hitter changed this thing. This park has changed, whatever it is. And the market's not reacting fast enough, and we are. And thus, we're going to find a difference in the market. That's how we're going to make money. Or the other way around. Where is it where we don't want to overreact? The market's freaking out, and we're like, look, just stay the course. This is fun. That's where we look at these underlying metrics, which are the most predictive thing we have. That's what I see when I see this game. The Tigers bullpen so far has been better than number 20. I'm not sure they've got the guys there, and you've seen it with the back end kind of falling off here lately. The Astros bullpen, we've been mentioning, right, is going the wrong direction, The models finally, I guess, had it with the Astros bullpen and is saying not very good. We're kind of at the same point right here where we've been talking about maybe with the Astros, until the bullpen figures it out, they should. The guys there should be good. The underlying metrics are fine. They don't have a lot of depth, but like when they get a good quality outing from Fromber, who's going 6-7 innings, and you get to those top guys, maybe it should be fine. Right? Maybe you look first 5 on the Astros until the bullpen gets figured out. Maybe you kind of just trust and say, look, we know it's not that good, but it shouldn't be too bad, right? The bottom line is you're going to look at these bullpens and say, you can come to a lot of different conclusions. The model's looking at these two bullpens and just saying, whatever, it's a wash. There's really not a huge difference in them. If there is any difference that the model is saying, is that the Tigers bullpen is depth, the Astros bullpen doesn't. I'm not sure that really matters here with Framber Valdez on the mound. And that's the key in this game, is that while both of these pitchers have had similar results this year, it's a grand total between the two of them of 50 innings. Framber Valdez is the much better pitcher. Let's not overreact to what Casey Mize has done. I don't have any reason to believe that he's all of a sudden going to be able to continue this all year and throw himself in the Cy Young race. Maybe he does, and if so, good for him. I don't think we have that evidence after six starts, right? A lot of pitchers have good six good starts or six respectable starts. We've also mentioned, right, the Tigers are a team playing a lot of teams below 500, right? So when you look at who he's done it against, maybe it's not the most impressive list of teams either. Fumbleville does, struggled at the end of last year, but historically has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. So that's got him at number eight. Started off the year a little bit shaky, already on the IL, but overall things seem to be fine for him. We've got the Astros winning 63% of the time. The market's got it at 54%. Maybe you look first five and say, I don't want to deal with the Astros bullpen. Again, I'm looking at it thinking the biggest issue is the depth. I'm not sure that comes into play here. That more is more likely to come into play when one of the Astros' weaker pitchers is going. And that's a situation where the model knows that. The model knows how long we're or has a projection on how long each pitcher will go. And then factors in more about the depth guys pitching then. And that's where the Astros are hurt. Not sure it matters here. So we've got it at 63%. The market's got 54%. So it's Astros or pass for us here. And again, maybe you look first five instead. But either way, the Astros should be bigger favorites than this. They've struggled. But we've done really well with this Astros team this year. We've faded them a lot and it's worked. We've backed them here and there. It's mostly worked. And so this situation where I would not be on the Tigers, to say the least. Model also has maybe a slight lean to the under. Going under 8.5 with juice. Is it the most exciting thing in the world to do? Maybe there's an opportunity in the first five. We'll see in the morning in the first five stuff. All of that is available on Dub Club. Yankees and the Rays. Clark Schmidt and Taj Bradley. Taj Bradley making his season debut coming up to pitch now for the Rays, right as they put, I don't remember who it was, now someone else, another pitcher on the aisle. They've got a lot of pitchers in the aisle themselves. Clark Schmidt grades out the same as Bradley. Can't really talk about much about what Bradley's done overall, except, you know, he's a young guy. He'll probably be decent. And Schmidt's kind of in that same ballpark. He's overperformed so far this year. He's looked really good. If Schmidt keeps performing like he's done so far, you know, mid three ERA, mid three xFIP, FIP in the low fours, keeps doing that, he'll be on the other side of 100. He'll get down into better. But so far, we don't want to overreact too much. Two pitchers that are not bad. You might see the triple digit rating, but two pitchers that I don't really have a problem with, I don't think, backing either one of these guys. The difference in this game, I think, is going to come down to the bullpens. You can see that the model thinks the Yankees bullpen is slightly better than the Rays bullpen. I'm not sure it's not by more than that. this Rays bullpen has looked atrocious. I'm not sure it, the rating keeps getting worse and worse. And Cousin Jared likes to talk about this a lot too, right? When has the movement stopped, right? When someone's getting better and better or worse and worse, when have we hit that point? I'm not sure we've hit it yet with the Rays. This Rays bullpen just looks terrible. Yankees bullpen looks pretty solid so far. Like, it might actually be a little bit better than that. Hard to say at this point, but if anything, that's kind of the difference in this game, if you're betting first five or full game, in my opinion, is I'm not sure I want anything to do with that Rays bullpen. I'm just really concerned. Again, I think the difference might be bigger than is shown there. The Yankees offense is better. The Rays offense, I've talked about this a lot, right? We don't want to overreact too much. They are better against lefties. Schmidt's a righty, but they're not too terrible. The Yankees offense is better, but it's on the road. The Yankees should be favored. I'm not sure by how much. The model says barely. I think they might should be favored by a little bit more. I think 51% is a little bit low. If it was me making this line myself, I'd probably say 53%, 54%, something like that. Because again, I think the Yankees bullpen is going to help them out. That offensive difference, that kind of matters. So I have a little bit more than 50%, but 57% seems a little bit high. The only question here is, is it raise or pass? Because again, those are your two options, I think, that make a lot of sense. And passing is fine. And even if the Rays win or lose, passing is still not necessarily a bad decision. Again, we're thinking about what price you want to attack. I can tell you what price the model wants, but you got to figure out what price you want and how you shift around and deviate. Looking at the total, it looks pretty spot on. Looking at the side, it's raise or pass. First five might be another option to look at again. That way you kind of avoid that whole bullpen situation. I'd be really curious to see how the market views the first five, given how the model views the bullpens. That'll kind of give me an idea of how the market views the bullpens of these teams. So I think that'll be a real interesting learning when we get that first five market out. Diving back to the Orioles, about 50 degrees for this one in Baltimore. Wind will be blowing in 10 to 15 miles an hour. Folks, it's going to play very pitcher friendly. This is going to be a game that's going to be hard to hit home runs in. With 50-degree temperatures, closing the upper 40s, and the wind blowing in, the ball is not going to fly whatsoever. Now, both these offenses are really good, have some potential to put up some runs. Obviously, the Diamondbacks' offense can somewhat disappear, but and that's highlighted by the struggles of a guy like Corbin Carroll, but they're still an above-average offense, and the Orioles' offense is fantastic, but this is going to be really, really good pitching weather. Brandon Fought and Cole Irvin in this one. Both these pitchers are pretty close to average. So far, Fought's underlying metrics are really good. So I would not be discouraged by that 461 ERA. I think he's going to be just fine. Cole Irvin's actually outperformed his underlying metrics, which are pretty solid. Cole Irvin's going in the right direction. I mean, two pitchers that some upside for both these guys. I think Fought might be a little bit undervalued because people are looking at that ERA, but he'll be just fine. I have no qualms about him. Cole Irvin, again, just looks solid. Looks so far so good this year, and there's nothing you can say at this point as a complaint. Just say, hey, like he continues to pitch well. The underlying metrics are there. If he keeps doing this, he's going to keep improving. The bullpen for the Orioles, moving Suarez to the bullpen helps them a lot because he's one of their better pitchers. You saw him last night use him in a key situation, and that's how much they trust him. He helps that bullpen out a lot. Kimbrel obviously doesn't. That's the big concern with the Orioles bullpen. He'll be fine. He has these stretches where he looks terrible. Then he has stretches where he looks great. Right now, he doesn't look very good. But overall, this Orioles bullpen's okay, at least. And of course, that's one of the reasons why they're favored. The bullpen's a little bit better. Offense is a little bit better. Starting pitcher may be a little bit better. They're at home. It's kind of one of those death by a thousand paper cut things. Sidelines got the Orioles winning this 59% of the time. Market's at 57%, so it's kind of looking like Orioles are pass. But right now, the current market price at minus 137 is still 10 cents away from the B-grade threshold of minus 127. Of note, the total in this game, market has it at 8.5, and the model's got it at 7, folks. Want to confirm the weather and just make sure in the morning? Because 8.5 is not really a number that you're dying. 8.5, 8 isn't a big deal if this number drops. But I'd be eyeing this under if the weather doesn't change on this and something, doesn't. We're far enough away where anything can happen, right? Weather's not the most predictive thing at this point, especially the wind direction, some of the stuff. But I mean, it looks in from center field, so even if it shifts, shouldn't matter unless it just dies down. But the temperature will be pretty chilly. I mean, this is going to be a game that's going to be hard to score runs. So the under looks pretty smart. Maybe the first half under will as well, but some form of under might be the way to go on this one. It's either that or the Orioles if you're looking to play that one. Twins and the Blue Jays, 7:07 p.m. first pitch. Low 50s for this one, so probably going to be a closed roof there in Toronto. Joe Ryan and Yusei Kikuchi. Joe Ryan, it's been a guy we've looked back for a couple of years now, probably very similar to Pablo Lopez in how underrated he is. Not as good as Pablo, but probably equally underrated. 3.54 ERA in his 40 innings this year, FIP and XFIP around 3. He might actually be better than what he's looked so far. He's a very good pitcher. Kikuchi, on the other hand, a guy who we've talked about coming into the season, I wasn't very high on, but he has looked fantastic this season. 2.72 ERA, and the underlying metrics agree with that. He has been very, very good, both FIP and XFIP in the twos. So a guy who, on the way up, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to continue pitching like this. As I mentioned previously in this episode, I mentioned it before, right? We have to figure out how to react to guys, especially veteran players like this, pitching really well all of a sudden. A guy who's been, very average at best, when you look at the totality of his major league career, a guy who's getting a little bit older, right? It's not like he's a young guy, but so far just having a great season. Of note, the Twins are a little bit left-handed heavy, and that makes their rating against lefties a little bit worse. So that's something to keep in mind on this one. The Twins offense, according to the model, excelling more against righties. That's the flip side for the Blue Jays, right? So both of these offenses actually grade out worse in this game than what you're seeing on screen bullpen-wise. Not a lot of faith in the Blue Jays pen at this point. A lot of faith in the Twins bullpen, but we are in lockstep with the market. You can see they're both us and the market at 52%. And a fun case, not fun in that there's no real betting hedge, but a fun case where it lines up exactly. And you can see we think the price for the Blue Jays should be minus 106, but you have to pay 7 cents more than that. I think the price of the Twins should be plus 106, but you have to pay 3 cents worse than that. So a game that just doesn't really offer much. Right now, of course, the Twins are on fire, so it's hard to not back them. And so looking at it, even though there's not a model edge, if I had to play this, I'd be looking at the Twins. The other option you can look at is the under 8, as the model says, Maybe this should be 7.5. Again, both these pitchers have a lot of upside. Both these offenses don't grade out very well against the handedness of this pitcher. So could be a low scoring affair. Braves and the Mets, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, first pitch, upper 40s. Wind will be blowing in at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Folks, this game is going to play insanely pitcher-friendly. Now, obviously, we're really far out with regards to the wind direction, the wind speed, things of that nature. But at this temperature, unless something really crazy happens with this wind, the only question is how pitcher-friendly it's going to be. I have to tell you, from before we get to the next slide, it's under or past given these weather conditions. Charlie Morton, Jose Quintana. Quintana, 5.20 ERA. Not as bad as that, but a couple starts ago, I told you he wasn't as good as his ERA looked at the time. Say the same thing we said that the whole time. He's a below-average pitcher at this point. The only question is, you know, is he closer to average or closer to bad? Somewhere in that, you know, he's still a serviceable starting pitcher, but he's not great. He's one of the Mets' weaker starting pitching, given all the young guys they've been able to call up, assuming now that they've finally gotten rid of Adrian Hauser out of the rotation. Charlie Morton might be the Braves' worst starting pitcher at this point. I mean, they are just stacked with arms every which way. Morton's a good pitcher. It's just crazy how many good arms the Braves have. Their bullpen's the third best in baseball, according to Sideline. And, I mean, just they've got arm after arm, and Morton's having one of the best starts to his career, or to the season he's had in his career. He's notoriously started off slower here the last several many years, but a 3.50 ERA, FIP and XFIP both in the upper threes, better than he projects. So the Braves are just flush with arms. Of course, they've got a good offense. Mets offense isn't bad at this point, but the Braves on the road are favored. They should be favored. Another game, we are in lockstep with the market. Both us and the market of the Braves winning this 58% of the time, but as I mentioned earlier, really under or pass in this game. Phillies and the Marlins looking like Ranger Suarez and Trevor Rogers, a pair of lefties, both of which have something good to say about them. What we'll say about Suarez is he's been one of the better pitchers so far in baseball this season. Underlying metrics align with it, a guy we've loved for some time. So if you've been watching us here for any stretch, we've been high on Ranger Suarez and really nothing else to add to that. Trevor Rogers, not as bad as at 6.15 ERA. His underlying metrics are actually closer to league average, but there is enough of a concern. And relative to the rest of baseball, he still gets a slightly below average grade. But again, not as bad as that ERA. That said, of course, Suarez is definitely going to be the much better starting pitcher. The model still believes in this Marlins bullpen. There's no reason why they should be as bad as they've been. And they looked really good against the Dodgers. Maybe that's part of it here is that you saw that Dodgers series, the starters were the only ones to give up runs. Like, I'm not sure the bullpen gave up a single run. If they did, I might have missed it. I mean, it was like the Dodgers got a bunch of runs in the first few innings of both the first two games, and then I don't think they got anything else. They might have gotten two off, might have been off a reliever in that matinee on Wednesday. But I mean, you could see there why the model was like, hey, the bullpen is not the Marlins' problem. I've been saying that for weeks now. The problem with the Marlins is the offense, and the Phillies' offense is at least solid. The Phillies are favored in this game. They should be favored. That's not a question. The model says the Phillies may be favored by slightly too much. I'm not taking the Marlins right now for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'd have to have a huge edge to back the Marlins. They still aren't that good, and the Phillies are. So, I mean, I'd still need a huge edge to back the Marlins. And even though we are 2% higher on the Marlins than the market, when you look at the juice, basically the market price is about what the model says it should be. So we're just overcoming the juice. We're still not actually getting into good value. So we're nowhere near that B grade threshold for the Marlins. And I might need even higher than that to play the Marlins. Same thing when you're looking at a first five market. Maybe there's a Marlins play there, but again, we're going to have a really, really good price because I am just not loving fading Ranger Suarez. And again, I don't think that Trevor Rogers is that bad. It's not that. It's just, you know, Suarez is really good. Rogers is more meh than terrible, but he's still meh. So, I mean, the Phillies are favored like they should be. Even the total looks pretty well priced. So this is a game that I'm not sure I'm going to be able to recommend anything on. But again, you never know with the first five. Sometimes everything looks lines up and there's randomly a first five number that the model thinks is way off. So check for Dub Club, of course, there in the morning. Nats and Red Sox, mid-40s, wind to be blowing in. This is an interesting one. We always talk about Fenway when the weather is cold, not knowing exactly how the park's going to play because there's not a lot of foul ground. There's wonky dimensions. Things can get crazy there. But like, on a cold night like this, wind blowing in, it's a high variance situation. I almost kind of think of it like Coors. field so far, the way it's been playing, where it's been more unders than not, but that's mostly been driven by the Rockies' offense not being very good. But a lot of colder days when blowing in, like sometimes you don't really see a lot of offense. Sometimes in Coors, you see it because there's so much green out there in the outfield, there's just balls just fall. And you get some big crooked numbers. And the same thing with Fenway, that park's dimensions are so weird with the green monster. Sometimes it doesn't really matter if it's cold because the ball's not flying out for home runs. The ball's just flying off the green monster for double, 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 right? So interesting weather situation here. Hitter-friendly ballpark, but really pitcher-friendly conditions. But I'm not sure what to really make of it. With regard to the game, I am sure what to make of it. Patrick Corbin's terrible. Tanner Houck is amazing. And I don't really think I need to go too far deeper into that. Corbin's not as bad as a 6.45 ERA, but his underlying metrics, both FIP and XFIP, are in the mid fours. He actually projects a little bit worse than that based off of using last year's data too. I mean, it's not good. Now, he does tend to get a bunch of run support, which is weird. I don't really think that's predictive though. You don't tend to see that as a thing that overall, you know, is predicted going forward. But so far he's got a lot of run support here at the end of last year and this year, but he hasn't been very good. And Tanner Houck has been. His FIPs 208, XFIPs in the mid twos. I mean, he's been really good. This is just a massive discrepancy with regards to the starting pitchers. I still don't really trust the Red Sox offense. I don't really trust the Nats offense either. Both bullpens are very respectable, but the Red Sox here should be big favorites. I think they should probably be favored by more than what they are. It's Red Sox or pass. The only way thing you got to figure out is how you're playing this. We haven't determined it yet either. We'll make an official pick one way or the other on Dub Club in the morning. Maybe you look minus one. Maybe you look minus one and a half. Maybe you look Moneyline Parlay. There's a couple different ways to play it, but it's Red Sox or pass because there's no way I could fade Corbin against they should be fade Houck against Corbin at prices anywhere near what I'm seeing. The Nats price would just need to be through the roof. And it's nowhere near that for that to be valuable. So this is one where we'd always talk about why we have the model, because sometimes you see a big favorite and they're priced too high. Sometimes you see a big favorite and they're not priced high enough. And I think this is what we're dealing with here in the ladder. Guardians of the White Sox, mid 50, slight breeze blowing in. Going to play pretty pitcher friendly here for Carlos Carrasco and Garrett Crochet. Crochet, as I've been mentioning before, better than his ERA, better than that 5.31 ERA. FIP upper fours, XFIP upper threes. He's got a lot of room to get better in that ERA to drive down based off his underlying metrics if he can continue to pitch like that. He's actually pitched really well. He's just given up a few runs. As a reminder, it's very weird that we attribute earned runs all to a starting pitcher or all to a fielder when in reality it's some combination of fielder, pitcher, park, etc. That's why we look at these underlying metrics. Crochet himself, what he can control, how good he is, he's actually much better than that. Very good pitcher. The only thing for him, of course, is that he doesn't have a good defense behind him, which hurts, but also he just doesn't have much of anything behind him. Carlos Carrasco, the model does not like. He's not getting deep into games. Part of that is him struggling. 5.67 ERA and underlying metrics are not that far off from that. FIP in the low fives, XFIP in the upper fours, almost a five, towards the bottom of the starting pitcher projections. And so a rare game where you look at the Guardians and you say, they don't have a starting pitcher edge. They are better offensively than the White Sox, of course. They're much better in the bullpen. Best bullpen versus the worst bullpen, according to Southern. And that does matter because when you look at Carrasco not being very good, the model does look at that, projects less from him, but does say, hey, because the Guardians have a good bullpen, not just the back end, it's not just Class A. They have a lot of depth, a lot of good pitchers in that pen, and that at least helps them pull him quicker and get to the other guys. So it mitigates that. But that said, you still have to be a little bit concerned for the start of this game. And the model says this is pretty 50-50. The Guardians are favored. You can't, you know, help but agree with that in the sense of, as long as this game stays reasonably close, when you look at these bullpens, the Guardians have a much better chance, you know, later on. The question is what's going to happen at the start of this game. If the White Sox are going to be able to get out to a lead, their offense isn't good. Obviously, the Guardians offense is pretty good, but the caveat here, the Guardians offense is really left-handed heavy. We've talked about that a lot in the last year. Nothing's changed. If you've been with us for a while, you know what I'm about to say, which is Guardians facing a lefty in Crochet. I'm not sure I want to play the White Sox full game, but first five might be worth a look. We'll see if that's an official pick on Dub Club in the morning. Depends on what the price is. Again, what the projections are, what the thresholds are for that to be a good pick, is all available already out on Dub Club. So you can already have that in your hands, ready to go. So when this first five market comes, you can attack whenever you want if you're with us on Dub Club. But the Guardians' chance is going to come later in the game. Early on, things just do not set up well for them, with Crochet being the better starting pitcher, being a lefty. It really mitigates the offensive edge the Guardians have. They still have one, don't get me wrong, but they're just, it won't be quite as big. And again, Crochet against Carrasco, I trust Crochet. I don't trust the White Sox bullpen, though. So if it's Guardians, it's full game. But right now, they're priced too high because I'm just nervous about how that first part of the game will go. If I'm backing the Guardians in the full game, it's probably coming more in a live bet. It's first five White Sox or pass with regards to that, and maybe even an under, because I'm just not sure how many runs the Guardians are going to get going here early on. Maybe a first five under. A lot of ways this can go. I'm sure we'll have something on this game over on Dub Club in the morning. Cardinals and the Brewers, don't know who's going for the Brewers. At this point, I'm plucking in a bullpen game for them, which is what could happen. If they call up somebody from AAA, it's likely to turn into somewhat of a bullpen game. The Brewers bullpen is very okay. Cardinals bullpen's very good. Lance Lynn, very mad. We talked about him yesterday, probably outperforming his peripherals. So I'm not sure he'll continue to do as well as he's done with that 3.28 ERA, but a very okay pitcher. Both offenses are okay. The Cardinals offense going the wrong direction, of course. Losing your choice doesn't really help that. I mentioned before, you know, they do have Herrera behind him, who's not terrible, but Contreras was hitting so well. Anytime you lose one of your better hitters, that's not ideal. So, you know, Brewers will have the edge on offense, but the Cardinals will have the edge probably everywhere else. This would be Freddy Peralta's spot, I believe, but he's suspended until Saturday. So it looks like what they're going to do is they're going to start him on Saturday, push everybody back to give everybody rest. I don't know what they're going to do here. So if it is a bullpen game or something like it, we've got the Brewers as slight favorites. But again, updates coming in the morning on Dub Club. Rangers in the Rockies, about 50 degrees for this one in Denver. Wind will be blowing out 5 to 10 miles an hour. It's going to play more pitcher-friendly than an average game at Coors because of that temperature, but it's not going to drive the total down quite as much as some of these other days have, because that breeze blowing out will make it where hitting a home run will still be moderately easy there. Not quite as easy as it would be in the summer, but still not like the hardest thing in the world to do. John Gray and Austin Gomber here. Gomber, of course, you know, good numbers so far, 3.79 ERA, but the FIP in the low fives is a concern. The XFIP's a little bit better. That FIP tends to get higher for pitchers at Coors Field, and you know that play for the Rockies. We've talked about this a lot, right? The big difference between FIP and XFIP is that FIP uses actual home run rate, whereas XFIP uses expected home run rate. Well, we tend to have Rockies pitchers give up more runs than more home runs than we would expect because the park they play in, that's part of it. So that's not really a surprise. So even if we ignore that for him, which ignoring FIP and just using XFIP for Rockies pitchers isn't the craziest thing to do. Maybe not ignore it, de-weight it, right? XFIP of 460. I mean, that's still below league average. So far he's done okay. He might be better than that 116 grade, but I still think it's a triple-digit rating for him. John Gray, 250 ERA, 253 FIP, XFIP's 350, projects a little bit worse than that, but having a solid season so far, and he's had, of course, stretches where he's been good. He should know how to pitch there. He pitched a long time in Coors. So a guy who should be able to adapt to that a little bit better than anybody else. The issue, of course, is that the Rangers are big favorites. They should be big favorites. I'm not really sure there's any value on them. I would say it's Rangers or pass. I don't trust this Rockies offense. I see what they're doing here on Thursday afternoon. I still don't trust them at all. And again, Gray should be less affected by pitching at Coors than most pitchers are. That said, the price on the Rangers is really high right now. Maybe, you know, that's a Moneyline parlay type play, but I would be thinking about it on the Moneyline parlay more about the other game that you're putting it with rather than just the Rangers itself, because there's not really a lot of added value on the Rangers. Maybe a little bit more than the model realizes, but the model says you'd be minus 161. So paying minus 175 isn't really getting me out of bed in the morning. It's not really something that's exciting, but I couldn't take the Rockies here, especially knowing that, again, the John Gray should be able to adapt to the environment as well as anybody. Might look at the under again. It's a small edge. The issue with the Coors totals, and I have mentioned this previously. I don't think I mentioned this last week where we've played some more. I mentioned it on Twitter, but I know I mentioned it earlier in the season, and I mentioned it last year. It's a good thing to remind everybody of. And the same thing happens with Fenway as well. All the totals at Coors are higher variance. what that means is you probably want a little bit bigger of an edge to play the same thing. So where the full game total, if the full game projection was 9.43 and you could get 10, and I think it's 10 under like minus 115, at any other park in the country, yeah, I'd go under 10. At Coors, because of extra variance, the gap there of about a half a run kind of is like maybe a third of a run somewhere else. So I'm not saying you shouldn't play the under. I think the under is probably a smart play. I think it's kind of under or pass, especially again, because if there is any bit of John Grace pitched there before and he could handle it better, that's going to make the model doesn't, it's not that intricate, then the projection total will be a little bit less. But totals are so variable there. I don't know. Under 10, like I said, it's probably the smartest play there, but it's not one I'm running to play, if that makes sense. So it's kind of Rangers or under kind of the ways you can look there, but nothing right now. It jumps at me so much that I'm just dying to lock that in. Royals and Angels, about 60 degrees for this one. I'm going to be blowing out 5 to 10 miles an hour. Might play a little bit pitcher-friendly on the slightly chillier night there in Anaheim, as the temperatures haven't really warmed up in Southern California yet. Alec Marsh and Griffin Canning. Canning not as bad as that 669 ERA, but he's not that good either. 113 grade, FIP and XFIP in the low fives. Not a very good pitcher. Alec Marsh in his 26 innings this season. 2.7 ERA, 3.27 FIP. XFIP's a little bit higher. The projection is more close aligned with his XFIP, more middle of the road than his FIP. But so far, the results have been pretty solid for him. So nothing real down there to say about him. Bullpen-wise, I still don't trust this Angels bullpen. Offensively, I still don't really trust either one of these offenses. We've got this at 52% for the Royals, whereas the market's got it 50-50. So it's kind of a Royals or pass situation. As I always say with the Angels, if you're playing the Angels, you probably want to do it first five. And if you're fading the Angels, you probably want to do it full game. So a full game fade here of the Angels where you're playing them on the money line isn't crazy. The issue is the B grade threshold's plus 103 and minus 105 right now. So we're still almost a dime away. So it's kind of Royals or pass, but for right now, I'd probably pass. The total's priced pretty well. Also, somewhere in the mid-8s is kind of a rounding error difference. I don't really think there's a ton of value there. Maybe the first five offers or something. It's the first five market. I asked Cousin Jared yesterday in this game, the nightcap here on Thursday night, I said, what would you do if you're looking to play it? And the full game stuff was just mad, but we got a great first five play that we dropped on Twitter. Hopefully that hits for us. And so maybe the first five market will offer something here as well. But for the full game market, Royals are passed, but I'm not really loving that price. Dodgers and Padres, Tyler Glasnow, Michael King. Tyler Glasnow has been great. I don't know. Every time he's pitched now, I say the same thing. He was up to 50 innings, 2.70 ERA, FIP and XFIP, both in the mid twos. I mean, so far he's pitched better than that 71 rating. I mean, he's just been fantastic. There's nothing else to say. He's really good. The end. Michael King, 4.29 ERA. He's a guy who I think started off and had a couple of decent starts, and I was cautioning everyone. I was like, the underlying metrics aren't that good. He doesn't project that good. Sure enough, things have come back to earth. His FIP's still in the upper fives. I don't think he's that bad. His XFIP's in the low fours. That XFIP's probably a more reasonable projection spot for him right now, but just a very average pitcher. The Dodgers should be favored in this game. They're the better team. The model still doesn't like their bullpen with Evan Phillips out, but it doesn't really love the Padres' bullpen either. Both these offenses are solid. Here's the thing, though. When you've got Tyler Glasnow going for the Dodgers, you got to make them big favorites. The issue is the Padres are decent enough and at home, you can't ignore that. The Padres won 2 of 3 the last time these two teams played. We've got the Dodgers winning 59% of the time. The market's got them at 60%. It looks like no real opportunity to play this one. There might be a first five opportunity in this one that I'm keeping my eye on. We'll see if that comes to fruition in the morning. Again, first five plays all over on Dub Club, other than the one free one that we give out on Twitter. Maybe an under situation to look at. I don't love going under 8s as much as I like going, under 9s, but there might be a little bit of an edge here. This total should probably be 7.5. I'm not really sure why it's this high. I know there's a lot of respect for these offenses, but that park plays pretty pitcher friendly. Tyler Glasnow is really good. Even the model knowing these offenses are good and these bullpens aren't, the model still can't get above 7. You can't even get to 7.5. So a little surprised this total's at 8. A lot of respect to these offenses, but given the park and given the pitchers, the starting pitchers, that might be a little bit high. But again, maybe a first five angle on this one in the morning, but nothing for me on the full game right now. A's and the Mariners, a warm night in Seattle, especially relative to what we're used to seeing there, as we're going to be in the upper 60s. We're going to start off around 70 degrees for this one. Slight breeze blowing in is going to make it play pretty normal. It's going to be warmer than a usual night game in Seattle by far, but the wind blowing in is going to kind of balance it out. So it'll still play pretty pitcher friendly, but not any more pitcher friendly than an average game. The Mariners offensively are the better team here. The A's offense maybe starting to pick it up here as of late, but still below average. Paul Blackburn, again, a guy we love. 3 ERA, FIP and XFIP in the upper threes. I still don't know why the model isn't grading him out any better than this, but he's a guy that we've loved to back, has been really good, and hate to fade him. The A's relievers all of a sudden now skyrocketing up the ratings. As I mentioned, they just kind of keep getting better and better and better, and now grade out in the top 10. Mason Miller grades out as the fourth best closer in baseball, according to Sideline right now, and only a stone's throw away behind Edwin Diaz for number three. Again, a guy who really matters. The biggest thing with the A's is that, not to say he's the only good reliever they have, but he's by far their best reliever and helping them a lot in that rating. And when he pitches or doesn't pitch matters. He didn't get to pitch for a week, and so you kind of knew he was pitching at some point in the doubleheader. When he's going there mattered. I said at the time, I was like, I don't really think they should have been using him in game one. The lead was big enough. It wasn't like Monday where it was a one-run game. Had they saved him for game two and just said, we're going to use you for 2 innings for game two, they probably sweep that doubleheader. Instead, they burn him in game one, and they can't pitch him in game two. And again, the rest of the bullpen, if you take him out, becomes average. He's what's making them above average. So he matters, of course. The A's had an off day, so he should be fresh. You just got to keep an eye on him before you bet anything. We don't know who's going for the Mariners yet, so no line available. Brian Wu looks to be coming back this weekend. He is by far their worst starting pitcher. He's by far better than Emerson Hancock. Not that Hancock won't be good one day. He's a young guy, got a lot of promise as well. But so far, Hancock was a big guy we've loved to fade. He's just not ready yet for the big leagues. And that's fine. I'm sure he'll be fine one day. But he's one of the weaker starting pitchers in baseball. So getting back to Brian Wu is an upgrade. Not that Wu is good. He's just an upgrade over Hancock. Wu's numbers are going to look better because the park he's pitching in, but he's still a slightly below average pitcher. I think Blackburn might be the better pitcher in this one. The model says Wu slightly. Blackburn's been great, though. You can't argue with what he's done for us last year and this year. If it is Wu, we've got the Mariners winning this 58% of the time, mainly on the strength of the fact that even though the A's offense is starting to come around, this Mariners offense is still better. Bullpen-wise, it's pretty close to a wash. Again, Miller really helps the A's out. The model likes his bullpen a little bit more, but not by much. And the game's in Seattle. So the Mariners should be favored in this one. Again, if this is the matchup, those are the thresholds they're on screen needed to get to a good investment according to the model. And then wrapping us up, Reds and the Giants, low 50s for this one. Wind looks to be blowing across, but the wind doesn't matter as much in that ballpark. Andrew Abbott and Logan Webb. Abbott's been much, the results have been there, 3.32 ERA, but the underlying metrics suggest he's been very lucky. FIP and XFIP both in the mid fours. So a guy who projects to be more average than what he's done so far. Again, so far it's been good. I'm just not sure that's true. The Reds continue to lose. And again, I have to say we feel pretty good about what I've been saying about the Reds all season, which is this is a below average baseball team that's going to be all about their starting pitchers. If the starting pitcher can get it done for them and carry them to wins, they aren't winning. The only games they win are when the starting pitchers are fantastic. They can't do that all the time. This offense isn't that good. They really need McClain back. I don't even know when that's going to happen, if it's going to happen this year. Even if they get him back, the offense just becomes average. Their bullpen isn't that good. I've been driving the Reds are overhyped train, and you're finally starting to see why here as of late. Logan Webb was at one point this season, started off great, had risen to the best pitcher in baseball, according to Sideline, once Strider went out. Hasn't done as well on the road. He's looking like a guy, and he's still fairly young, I'll say. I mean, he's only got a few years in the league. He's not, you know, Justin Verlander age, right? He feels like he's been around for longer than he has, but you know, really looking like a guy who's starting to be in that Zach Gallen, Aaron Nola, Merrill Kelly type mold, where the numbers are just really different home and road, more so than usual. We account for that, but he might be a little bit more extreme than that. Might be a situation where he's like the best starting pitcher at home, and on the road he's more 50-50. So I have no qualms backing him at home if there's any bit of an edge. And again, we're going to be fading the Reds. This is your free show A grade pick, Giants minus 150. The model says minus 163, gets it into the this is a smart pick you should be looking at. I think you should be doing more than looking. I think you should be jumping on the Giants at minus 150. Anything in the minus 150s up to minus 160 is a fantastic bet on Logan Webb at home against the Reds team that can't figure it out, isn't that good, and continues to struggle against mediocre or better teams. They might win a couple games against the Giants here this weekend. I haven't looked at who the pitching matchups are. When they face weaker pitchers, anything can happen. But when they face good teams and or tough opponent situations, i.e. Logan Webb in San Francisco, things have not gone well for the Reds. I don't expect them to go well for the Reds. So minus 150, your A-grade free show play here on Friday. But remember, folks, shop around. Try to find the best price. Just because I'm saying minus 150 is your A-grade free play, if you can find minus 145, do it. Fire away at the best number you can. You don't necessarily need 10 accounts out there, but as long as you got three or four places you can shop around and find some good prices, that's the smart way to do this. If you don't have an account there yet, BetUS, we appreciate their sponsorship. They are giving you a great deal, 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits. Don't know how much longer it'll last, but sign up today if you don't have an account there yet so that you can always be finding the best prices possible.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
And that'll do it for our show. Thanks for watching. As always, we remind you that you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.